I've started recording.
Hello. This is a funny setup for the human centipede, isn't it? I wonder, where are we? What the heck? We're in the old studio. I booked us a whole new studio. Cost a fortune, I'll tell you.
Human centipede, entirely my fault. My mental health
well,
not been up to
not
it.
Just you.
No, the Dutch have to take some of the blame for this. For
the Dutch, the Dutch do have to take some of the brain. I'm not sure why.
Because they made the human centipede,
and they did. They also did kind of invent capitalism,
and also Big Brother.
I liked the first season of Big Brother, though. I watched the first season of Big Brother on dial up. On Real Player, on a window that was like this fucking big, like the 24-hour stream. Because the first Big Brother, it wasn't arsehole, it wasn't attention-seeking arseholes. It was just people like, this is an interesting social experiment, and it kind of was. You just got to like eavesdrop on people having a chat all day, which was kind of
so they didn't all become celebrities immediately.
I couldn't tell you any of their names.
Well, I couldn't tell you any of the other ones' names either. But that's...
it was just people having a nice chat, and you know, like it was lovely, and then it became awful.
Yeah, I don't think the sun's working with my background today.
No, it looks like you've got a halo. It's great.
Mm. Oh yeah. Do you know who else has a halo?
Jesus.
Avicerella.
Oh yeah.
Jesus doesn't have a halo because Jesus didn't exist. Go, what's he like? This one. Gotcha.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not very bright. Okay.
So the Dutch basically ruined Drew's mental health, and as such, we cannot...
Dutch.
I watched it, like, do you know, right? It is such a boring film. The film actually is substantially better if you watch it at 2x speed.
How much dialogue is there?
There's not much dialogue anyway, so maybe that's worth a try.
Yeah. It's not...
Anyway, we shouldn't start talking about it because... Save that for the actual
quality. You know, we already missed the bit where I talked about the onion rings I had for
you're making us all jealous.
What's Hamish holding up?
I'm holding up notes. A piece of paper.
I hold in my hand a piece of paper.
Oh, this is
notes for this episode. Name.
Oh no, I thought he was doing the Reformation, Martin Luther.
No, I hold in my hand a piece of paper with Chamberlain.
Oh, sorry.
Where he gave Britain 6 months or a year or so or whatever to actually build up to be ready, even though he's vilified by history.
Yeah, currently.
As if he actually expected, you know, as if he believed anything Hitler said.
Yeah. Going to war when you have literally no army?
Bad idea.
Not a winning strategy generally.
Yeah.
No. Generally not, but, you know. It all worked out in the end, but we never really got rid of the Nazis, did we?
I think it didn't all work out. I mean, still, there were 6 years of pretty nasty stuff.
Yeah.
Which I wouldn't say is working out in the end. And also, the Nazis haven't gone anywhere. We still have fascism. Yeah. And if anything, no one's learned any fucking lessons from the last century.
Do you know, this has actually shifted my brain thoughts quite a lot.
Your brain thoughts? I don't know what other thoughts you might have, but I'm interested.
Because I was in Lidl the other day, and there were like quite... As you are. And I was appalled at a number of things. One, the fact that people have not learned after COVID to cover their mouths when they fucking cough.
I mean, we should still be... There's so many, like, people... Okay, that's the wrong way to frame it. But it's not really good for us in terms of like viruses and shit to live in close proximity in cities and stuff. Just masking up as a matter of course just seems like a good fucking idea.
I'm genuinely considering doing more masking because of the... And also, right, in Lidl as well, and I'm sure... And Waitrose are as bad at this as well, right? They have the fucking
other
bread
supermarkets
and shit
are available.
Other supermarkets are available. They just have the bread, the bakery and the bread shit just out in the open.
No.
Right? In one
I wouldn't be
Lidl,
buying
not,
that.
No, I know, it's ridiculous. And there was one time I saw in one of the Lidls that I don't regularly go to, thank God, I saw like a, I don't know, I'm very bad with ages of kids, but like 3-ish.
Yeah, no, I maybe. Can never tell. Yeah,
just walk up into one of the little Lidl bakery things, just sneeze straight in there. Achoo. Didn't like again. Like I don't even think it's the kid's fault. Like
no,
it's
a kid. No, not when it's a toddler. Oh. Okay, I appear to have. Oh, I actually closed it down. I didn't even touch anything. Hang on. They're probably saying, where's Hamish? And now I need to work out how to get back in. Hello. Yeah.
Oh, two Hamishes. Who's turned on the clues left on the cloning machine?
Before we get too far off topic, what's your favourite war?
The one from the apocalypse.
Okay. Very biblical. I'd go with English Civil.
I thought it was quite a boring one.
Yeah.
You mean, of course you would, yeah.
Well, you won it. You won it. You're on both sides.
Yeah, well
Scottish Wars of Independence and the...
Well, it's a bit of a misnomer because it did involve Scotland and Ireland quite heavily.
That's
Ireland
true, yeah.
Was quite one-sided, let's be fair. But, you know, Scotland had a crack. But what one of the things I like about it is at that point in history, England had not been at war for a very long time. Mm. So there wasn't a generation of people who knew how to do it. So the first few battles were completely amateurish. And like, and it's just, they just round up peasants and go, you're on our side, you're on our side. Like they weren't, the peasants weren't, didn't feel particularly strongly about it. They just got hoovered up by whichever army. So it was just a bunch of people with pikes, just they didn't really want to fight and they didn't know how. So there was very low casualties in the first few battles.
Do you know, actually, that I think sounds a lot very similar to a Game of Thrones war called the War, I think, of the Tenpenny Kings, where that was kind of similar, where like half the people who were fighting, the half the peasants were fighting. They didn't even know what side they were on half the time.
Well, why, you know, nothing's changed.
Yeah, one army would get taken over by one lord and another lord and whatever, and they get like shipped around like cattle. It was, you know,
English Civil War also, you know, some interesting political, like the Diggers, basically proto-communists, and it was also like we had the opportunity to become a proper modern state and decided not to instead.
No, we've had that opportunity a couple of times and just...
Yeah.
And we brought the king that brought back party in. I'm sorry about that.
Well, we killed the king and then...
Well, that king and then brought...
And then we didn't know what to do. We didn't really have the like political and social infrastructure to not have a king. So we're like, we've got to have another king, I guess.
See, that's the problem with like the right reactionaries in this country and probably others, where it's like, it's one thing being against something, but if you don't have a thing to slot in place of the thing you're against,
yeah,
it kind of falls apart.
Oh, you mean
right?
Those anti-establishment people like Farage?
Yeah, exactly. It's
man
like,
of the
like
people.
Farage, he's always going on about the things he's against. But
yeah.
Like if you ever listen to like he's only in favour of a few things and they're all awful, like an insurance system for healthcare.
Yeah,
which is what
he said he wanted a more of American based system, and it's like the Americans don't want the American based system.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Like
why people like, believe or follow the likes of that, I mean that's the problem. That's why that's a problem that I've got as politically is I do not understand how people fall for fucking lies all the time.
I wish I knew. Like
patently
I kind of
obvious lies. What are you what? You know, is it you just don't want to think
yeah, like
about
Chris
it at
says,
all?
I kind of get Trump, but I don't get the appeal of Farage. Although they are pro-water nationalisation, so that's something.
Well.
And they're against the cat.
I know it's not true, but it's the old, you know, well, at least the trains run on time. I know that's not actually true, but, you know. Anyway.
I mean, I think there is an argument to be made. I'm not necessarily it's a foregone conclusion, but I think there's an argument to be made that Kemi Badenoch is to the right of Farage.
Yes, definitely. That's how they think they're going to justify themselves and get voters back. Everybody keeps moving further and further to the right, thinking it's getting them votes, where it's not that, really. It's
very splintered, though, that like they can be to the right on immigration, but to the left on, like, it's they're all over, because none of them have got an ideology. They're all just all over. It's just they're trying to be right populist, but they don't even really know what that is.
No.
Anyway, do you want to know what's on the other side of my bit of paper? Because I found a bit of paper to make into four episodes worth of notes, see?
Oh, wow.
But the other side, I can't. It's only four. I can't use it for eight because on the other side, it's got something.
Oh.
It was like the front space. The frontispiece.
Yeah, the shuttle. That game that you did a video about.
Yeah, it's the frontispiece for that. I built the shuttle since, actually. It's over there, but you can't see it for various reasons, not least of which.
Would it be onerous to go and get it and show us? Because I'd like to see.
Fair point.
Thank you.
Hamish's beard looks nice today.
It looks great. His hair looks
great. Don't you think, viewer? Feedback? is this, if I'm pointing in the microphone?
It looks fucking terrible. Yeah. It's too. It's
no,
all,
it's good.
No, it's all good. Messy. I need to tidy it up.
Good. Suits you.
Anyway, one shuttle.
Wow. And that's made out of cardboard. It doesn't look it, but that's all cardboard, isn't it?
It's cardboard. Yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah, it's really cool.
You're going to suspend it from the roof?
No, it's not a model. It's a game piece.
Oh, a game piece.
Yeah, if you tried to suspend it, you would break it because everything opens up. It opens up to put items and characters into, including the.
That's very cool.
The
It does. It does look remarkably like solid and. It doesn't look like bits of cardboard. It looks
Really, well, cool. The way this company started was they do scenery for like battle system. You know, they're called battle systems. They do scenery for gaming, and it's very, very. You know, the texturing is excellent, and they're very clever at the way what they do is they give you bits to punch out, and like spare bits even have textures on them, so you can glue them together to make extra texturing and extra 3D-ness. Mm. But I mean, obviously, there's like you know things like sticky uppy bits for.
That's cool, that is. That's very cool.
Fascinating.
And I've built all the bits that I got over the last month or so, or like I got last month rather, including the sort of Stargate-y type thing. Mm. Well, I better show you it because Chris will want to see that, won't he? This is only part of it. This is the main part. But, and that's removable.
Everything.
That bit's removable, the vortex or whatever. And it's got, like, there's more bits to it, little activation consoles and power things that stand
what's
up.
The, what's the, for anybody curious, what's the game called again?
Core Space. It's basically a dungeon crawler. In the sci-fi setting, they have since. Well, I was telling you the story. Actually, I forgot. So they started off making scenery for other games. So like for 28mm sort of wargaming, so you could use them for the likes of Warhammer or there's a few of them. Yeah. There's loads of them. Anyway, loads of different war games you could play with them, and they were all scaled for that. And they got into doing scenery for all different genres as well. So they've got like fantasy, sci-fi, cyberpunk, and all that. They've never did. I suppose most World War II games use a different scale, so that's probably why they never got into sort of 20th century architecture. Anyway, point is, they got to the point where they sort of they wanted to make a game of their own. So they've got like a rule set and everything that uses their scenery and stuff. And you get like a box set with the scenery, some figures, and all that. You know, so. They've got figures. Oh, and they have since released lots of expansions. A second edition of the game, which is the one I've got because it's slightly different, but it's all compatible. And they've released a fantasy version since as well. So you've got like a classic fantasy style dungeon crawler as well.
Oh, lovely.
So, So that's that. Core Space. And I think Maladum is the name of the fantasy one. Maladum. Anyway, the British company as well, so it's all British stuff, British made. So you're supporting British jobs.
Ah, Nigel
Farage.
That would
be back to Nigel Farage. No, Nigel Farage. No, Nigel Farage wouldn't want to support British jobs.
He's got a house in Spain. Yeah. I don't think he supports the British much.
Oh, I can't wait till he gets taxed on that. You notice, did you see hear about that?
Yeah.
No, I haven't.
And somebody in the Scottish Parliament suggested that, or a Scottish MP or Scottish Parliament MP. Oh, I can't remember which one it is, but there's somebody who's suggesting that Britain should do the same sort of thing, But since we are a fucking tax haven and dodging factory, there's no way they're going to tax rich people to help the British people. No. That is just not going to happen.
But in fact, I heard somewhere that
good on you, Spain, for that. Fuck them. Because I know people personally who have basically gone out to, you know, to Spain completely unprepared, underfunded, so, you know, sold the equity in their house, not even had the house paid, you know, bought and paid for, but sold the equity in their house. It's like, oh, it's cheap, we can do what we want. No idea how to speak Spanish. They still don't. They've been there for years and years. Absolute racists, and supported Brexit as well while they were there.
Wow,
it's the family of somebody I know. Let's just put it that way.
That's kind of mental.
But that's what they're like. They just don't connect the dots at all. These people, people voting for Trump, don't connect the dots until it affects them. It was the same. What was the other thing? There was something else that was. Nancy Reagan, I think it was, who was against like one thing until it affected her family, and then another thing until it affected her family. You know, there's like a meme about it. You know.
But she sucked a good dick.
Did she? No, that's good. That's good.
I can
appreciate that.
She was like the.
I don't know if I'd want to think about it though.
The best dick.
Well, you can't see her face. You can't see her face. I never found her attractive. I'm talking about attractive, horrific people, and she's not one of the attractive ones.
Well, I mean, we knew her sort of older. When she was like,
but even then, no, even an older woman can still be attractive, which comes into the episode today, in fact.
Do you know who I find horrendously endearing when I really, really shouldn't?
Oh,
not necessarily attractive, but Barbara Bush.
Barbara Bush, in a sort of grandmotherly way.
Really sinister because she's got that grandmotherly thing going on, but she also, you know, she's evil. She can't not be evil.
It's crazy.
She'd be like the witch in Hansel and Gretel or something.
Right, okay.
Barbara Bush, what we're getting at is Barbara Bush eats children.
Of course. So before we actually get onto the episode, I think it's worth pointing out, of course, the news that The Expanse is getting pulled from streaming services.
Apparently so. So if you don't already have the DVDs or Blu-rays or whatever, or have collected it some other way already, collect it some way.
It's
not going to disappear from piracy, so that's fine. There's no rush there.
Yeah, it's true. It's not going to affect them. It's already.
I'll tell you what. Whatever you do, don't email this email address and ask where the torrents are. That would be
not do that email address would tell you such things.
But I mean, we might reply telling you where they are so you can avoid them.
Yes.
Yeah, well, yes, we don't want people accidentally.
Yeah,
sure you don't go here.
Go and pay the extortionate price that I spotted on Amazon for the box set.
Because like $78. They were saying on that article like $70-$80 for DVDs, even.
Yep. And there was one. Well, if you want the whole thing, all six series, I think I costed it up in the UK. It would cost you about £130.
Why is there even piracy anymore?
I know.
They might be selling it to another streaming service. It might be a contractual thing.
I mean, it might pop up elsewhere. Yeah, because there's two different companies involved in it. So,
because I mean, it must be still a fairly popular watch.
Well, it's way more popular than I thought.
Directing traffic to it. Yeah.
I mean, I know on streaming, like I think most stuff gets like 90% of its watches in like the first week, and then it's a very long time.
Yeah, but there must be loads of older stuff that's people are going to discover
unless it's a licensing thing. It's not costing them to have it sitting there on the servers.
I wouldn't have thought so. Yeah.
Well, is it made by like three different?
It's two different companies. It's two different companies. Well, it's not that. No. It's all made by one company.
But they're contracted by different channels.
Yeah, Sci-Fi own the first three series, and Amazon, I believe, own the last three series. I believe that's how it is. So. Yeah.
Boo Amazon. Boo Jeff Bezos.
Well, he's a cock. He eats babies as well.
Yeah. Well, have we talked about on the show about that one with that video with him and William Shatner?
Yeah, that was horrible. Yeah. That was horrible to watch. I felt so bad for
Shatner.
Shatner just trying to. I mean, Shatner's a prick in some ways, but I like Shatner.
No,
but,
I don't think anything he's done wrong in his life, he's admitted it and owned up to it.
Oh yeah, I think he's
had trouble with his own children
person.
And stuff like that. It was, you know, he had a bad relationship with his daughter, and he made up with her later and everything. Seems like a perfectly good.
But
he was genuinely
he was just trying to appreciate the moment and say something meaningful, for the cameras and stuff, like. But yeah, and Bezos just fucking shaking a bottle of fucking champagne in his fucking space. Just
that was like out of Simpsons.
There's like, no, really, yeah. Yeah.
I recently rewatched Don't Look Up.
That's good.
It is very good. The thing is, you're not going to get through. This is what it frightens me, that people will watch that and not get it. There must be enough
I think this is another thing that's misrepresented by liberal pieces of shit. When you poll people about climate change, even in the US, most people, like, it's like 60-80% of people are on board now. It's just that, what the fuck are we going to do? None of the parties are offering climate change as an option. So
But also, like, I think there's a lot of people.
We've got a new thing coming in the UK. A climate change denial part organization from the US is coming over here, and
that won't float. That won't
trust. Trust and Farage have signed up to them though.
That wing of the Tory party loves the American right wing stuff, but they've tried it with the trans stuff and it just doesn't float here. It just doesn't. You can't transplant something like that from one cultural context to another and just expect it to resonate. It just doesn't.
Yeah, but I think there's a lot of people out there that think that we'll fix climate change if we all just drive electric cars. And
yeah, which is the worst. That's the most dangerous. Like, it's the liberal. It's the same companies making something different to keep making money.
That's where it's partly where the dots don't join up, if you know what I mean. I think a lot of people don't probably realize the amount of change required to fend off climate change. I think a lot of people are just nor do they want to, right? Yeah.
We cannot solve climate change while still having capitalism, so none of the mainstream parties are going to do anything about climate change. They're just not.
Because capitalism drives.
And this bothers me when liberals are like, well, Trump's got to make the climate. No, he's not going to. There's going to be no difference between Trump or Kamala, Biden, whoever, like on climate.
Yeah,
anyway.
None of that's going to change anything. Tell us about this. Same with murdering people in the Middle East. That's going to keep happening. I've got one thing to mention. Yeah. I mean, I've got a whole page of things, but can I say one thing before we get going? Do we catch up with everyone's story in this? I mean, there's a few people that have left before the end of the last series. Like, obviously, Prax is not involved in it. But I think usually what happened at the start of a new series or halfway through a series, we would see a couple of people's stories, and then the next episode we'd see the rest of the people. So it would divide up. But it seems like they went through absolutely everybody in this episode.
All of the main characters
or groups or whatever were covered. Seems to me.
I think that might be true. It does. It almost feels like the start of a different show.
It does feel like kind of, but it is kind of like.
That's kind of true, actually.
BC AD almost, like, or before ring, after ring. You know, like.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's kind of a reasonable thing. I mean, they've got the ring on the end titles now, and that with that sinister music, you know.
And they call it this one's the Soul Ring. Yep. So.
I can talk about things. I'm going to talk about properly.
What's the name of this episode, by the way? When I was watching legitimately on Amazon, Nutella. It didn't show it to me on these files. Nutella?
Yeah, Nutella. It's all about Nutella. Nice. Yeah.
They find the Nutella planet.
Oh, my word.
Swim
through. Hazelnut chocolate goodness. Nutella is the name of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so. Avicerella seems kind of mean on this one.
I think she's wrong for the first time.
She's very wrong and very earther about it.
See, I've accused her of this all the way through the last series, and you guys are the I have a piece of paper appeasers for Avicerella.
No, I think this is the first time for me. This is the first time she's made a wrong political choice, like. For A, you're not going to be able to stop it, so why try?
Mm. B,
B, you're not responsible for these people. C, what that lady in the meeting said, like, you've got half of the population is unemployed, like, is free real estate. Yeah. There's not even, like, indigenous people that we need to genocide in order to live on it civilized properly.
And it's not a ring to fucking let people in and out of.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not.
But the Martians, the Martians and her are agreeing on it, so the builders have to. But anyway, Nancy Gow is the name of the new character.
Because we lost her. And also, the justification for her position seems quite thin. Like, it'll be another gold rush. It will be bloody. There will be warfare. I'm not sure that really holds up. It might be bloody. You've essentially got infinite land to expand into. There's no contention for resources inherently. There could be, but and I don't think gold rushes were particularly. It didn't lead to like widespread violence. It was very contained violence. It's not like there was a gold rush and that caused Britain to go to war with France.
I suppose, like, we do have to understand that Avastrella is. She is the establishment, even was from as far back as episode one.
So she doesn't want to lose control.
She is of the Earther way of thinking. Like, she might have had some experiences outside of her bubble, but at the end of the day, her blood and bones is Earth mentality, right?
You know. Yeah, I think
Philip Johnston.
It did seem like her thinking was broadening out a bit, but it does seem to have re-narrowed back down to Earth comes first.
It's probably the stress of being in charge of the world.
And Luna and the satellites stations.
and Luna, Earth and Luna, sorry.
You've got to end for the moon people. Especially when, I mean, considering it's your organization, yeah.
And also the fairy realm.
Which is the fairy realm.
That's part of the UN,
Within the Earth. And within possibly Narnia.
Yeah, I think they're responsible for Narnia.
It's connected.
Yeah, and Neverland. Neverland, I think, is part of it as well.
Yeah.
All part of your responsibility.
Other fictional places, Finland.
Also, I have noticed that Holden, when he's not in his overalls, kind of looks like a Calvin Klein model.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, he is. I'm not sure what. Stephen Strait. I'm not sure what else he does, but I'm pretty sure he must have been a model. At some point.
He's got that look, hasn't he? He's got that thought. He's got that look and that way of moving.
So can I go back to Nancy Gow and just say? I mean, I'm not made lots of notes. I've not done anything teleological. I've just noted that she's a new UN political for us. So she's obviously, Avastrella is not the only person in the UN, so we need some main characters. So it looks like she's replaced the other two that have gone, you know.
Yeah. She's kind of beautiful as well.
Yeah, she's very beautiful, yeah.
She is an attractive woman, yes.
Sorry, Avastrella. And also with the black, like, it just kind of really, you know, she's like a spy or something, you know.
Can we go sort of roughly chronological this episode? Is that all right?
Hang on, before we go roughly chronological, Naomi's got a new haircut, and I'm not happy about it.
I don't like her new haircut. No, it's too. No. I don't know. It's just very. It's very boring for her. That's for one thing, because she's always got really crazy wild hair. But then it doesn't look. Yeah, it's not got a belter feel to it, has it?
No,
it's got a sort of school teachery vibe. She looks more British there than she has in any of the other episodes, I think.
Works in a university library.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
there's nothing wrong, like, university libraries. Librarians, great, but it's not.
I've known a couple of really sexy librarians.
Okay, so chronologically.
Yeah, the first thing that happens is Holden is home.
Holden is home.
And this brings up, there's a few things. Obviously, he's chatting and he gets his copy of Don Quixote back and he says he needs to read it again.
I didn't like that. When they ram it home hard like that, I don't like it. It's like, he's quixotic.
Well, I mean, remember as well, this might have been the first time people saw it, really. If they weren't following it, this might have been like, a new series on Amazon type thing. And
that's fair.
So they're previously on Expanse.
They started at season four. Yeah. Three. What are we on four?
Four. I'm allowing a bit for that, and I think that's possibly why they did the catch up with everybody rather than trying to split it up.
I think that's why it feels like a new show, because they're resetting up a lot that has already been set up. Yeah. So you might be right. Maybe they're thinking people will start with season four. Yeah, which would be insane, and you shouldn't.
Yeah, don't do that now.
No.
And also, we had angry a chat with Miller. Angry.
Yes, Miller.
Right. Well, before can I point out something that annoyed me before the Miller bits is good, but you guys can come back to that. But they made a big point of saying that Naomi couldn't make it down to the Earth, to see them all. Why the fuck didn't his family just take a quick shuttle up to orbit? I mean, it's not that difficult these days. In those days, whatever.
Well, also, she wasn't willing to have the very painful injections to go and see Jim's family, but perfectly happy to have them to go and see a barren planet.
It's a weird thing, isn't it?
Having seen the voice call she has with the family, I'm kind of on her side with that one.
The awful. Pain's not the problem.
Absolutely awful. Yeah.
It's the meeting of family. Well, it just seems to me that they could have met her. I'm pretty sure it would be easy for them to, she came all the fucking way across the solar system. They could have made a quick trip to see her,
Also,
maybe it was a kind of an excuse.
Yeah. One of the things I was thinking about when it comes to like how they do gravity in these shows is what they could have done in earlier episodes, and I don't think they did, and they could have, is make all of the props, like the tools and stuff, out of like really light foam and paint it and prop it, because then you can sort of manipulate it as if it was really light and sort of give that
how
kind
about
of
make them out of modeling
that's not
balloons.
Quite how okay never mind
so just prop oh, like bits, modeling bits of prop
you just see Amos with a big spanner made out of like
I mean props departments are pretty good.
helium in it, and then it would just the right amount of helium, it would just stay there, wouldn't it?
I mean, obviously you'd need to do some acting to go along with it, but like, I don't know, like a big, what are those wrenches with the things? Like
adjustable wrench?
Yeah, those big adjustable wrenches they have. Like if you made that out of a really light material, like polystyrene or something, you could do some little...
They quite often do.
They often make these things out
of lighter materials.
Because the things would still have, not weight is incorrect, but they'd still have mass.
Yeah, they still have mass.
Because most of the time when they do that, it's CGI, right? Like in this episode,
you'd assist with helmet, CGI, yeah.
And Drummer goes up to grab the helmet, and then there's a cut to the screen, and she grabs the helmet, like, and they're cutting between CGI and something hanging off a bit of fishing wire, which is great.
Yeah, so I don't know. I was just thinking that. But also, conversely, if they're on a planet with, like, super high gravity...
They could put lead in their clothes, so they're like,
yeah, put down. Like lead in, yeah. 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 I don't know, maybe I should write into their show, you got a future in production design. Yeah, I mean, obviously you need acting to make it sell it, but
can't do away with the acting.
Yeah, it's like the Enterprise. You shake the set and everybody moves. Peanut, no.
Yeah.
I am not doing this for you. You've had
everything. I think
it's literally been had bribes the whole bit.
I'd love to watch an amateur play production designed by Chris. I think it would be amazing. I think you'd have a knack for that. I think you've got the right kind of imagination to do some interesting stuff there. Oh my God, join an amateur dramatics thing.
Yeah, I can see Chris doing that.
As production designer. / director, maybe.
Interesting. I think I don't know. Maybe.
I think you'd be good at that.
Could be. I get the lighting wrong, but they've got people for that, haven't they?
I don't think you do. I think you overanalyze it a lot of the time, and then you fiddle with it for ages, and it comes back to being.
That's the thing. I do this with sound on my OBS a lot, where I fiddle it and fiddle it and fiddle it, and then I realize I've over fiddled it. I go back to basics and just it's fine. Like
that's a good thing about all this digital setup I've got, is you can store snapshots and stuff.
Yeah.
So like if you go around and start fucking with something, you go, oh shit.
Is it the kind of thing where you press the button for the snapshot and like the knobs move on their own?
Oh yeah, it's got flying faders. Yeah. Did you not know that?
Amazing.
I don't know if I can show you without.
I love it. I love it when they do that. When knobs move on their own, it's like that shit's haunted. It's so cool.
Hang on, because I don't know if I can do this without taking off the background.
Yeah. I just see an empty chair. You've kind of.
So when they make it, do they have to include the ghost in it? So fucking cool.
Wow. That's not even also, slow. You'd expect there to be some slow.
That one moves, you know, those
that
two.
That one
move.
Follows the. Oh. That's very cool.
That feels very.
Can I have that?
No.
Exotic.
It took me a like long, just... long time to build up to where I could have, you know, like I'd sell one bit to get the next bit up. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that is a step up from what I've got, but it's massive amount of overkill. And, you know, yeah, let's just leave it at that. A massive amount of overkill. But you can get things with flying faders. You can buy one where it's just a single channel. So everything, so it constantly moves. Like if you switch to channel two, it moves everything and, you know.
Oh. Okay, now I understand why people have these sound setups.
Just for the, I'll be honest, it's cool. But I've also got, you know, the digital mixer is like, it's just a black box. It's boring. You know, until you actually fire up an interface on it. Like, the thing is that like there's a software interface that works. There's Linux, Mac, and Windows interface for it. Mm. But also, it's programmable by the, you know, so that you can plug in a hardware interface. So that interface, what you saw with the faders and everything, that's not the mixer. That's just a physical control surface. That's just a dumb control surface. It does nothing else. There's no sound goes through that at all.
Does it have little motors in then to like move the pieces or something?
Yeah, they're motorized linear potentiometers.
Wow, that sounds like an extravagance for
me. Is that what you're saying? Yeah, fair
enough. No, for just the gap for what it does in general. But I mean, hey, I guess not. I don't know. I mean, I don't know anything. Don't listen to me.
I don't know anything.
But the digital mixer itself is what, you know, there's like it's basically a black box with, you know, loads of sockets in it. That's, you know, that's the actual digital mixer. So all the routing effects, dynamics and everything all happens in the black box. But the point is it's not taking any computing power or external power, you know, it's all happening in there, so there's no, you know. And you can control it with your phone or whatever from distance and all that sort of stuff.
I really thought you were going to say foot.
Yeah, it's got a foot. Well, you could. I've got MIDI foot pedals that you could use to change parameters. There's all sorts you can do. Yeah. I should really get my studio organized again, but not until I've tidied up, or else it's going to cause World War III with my mother.
So do you know what's wacky?
What's wacky, Chris?
Sorry, what's wacky is that Miller's on Earth. He doesn't usually make it this far out away from the ring.
What's on the Rosinante that they don't know about?
Oh, proto molecule.
Also, the ring might, now the ring's complete, it might have a bit more transmission power as well, I thought.
Yeah,
that is that, yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, there's one thing that I didn't note later, which we'll come back to that later, but. There's one thing I didn't know that I hope one of you did. If not, we're going to have to watch it. What else have we got? Yeah. Oh, yeah. So right at the start, after the families thing, we've also got the Ganymede refugees.
Mm-hmm.
And then quite rightly, as we were talking about with the UN saying, oh, you know, trying to control the gate and everything, the Sol Ring. What the fuck? These people have got nowhere to go, literally. Why are they stopping them from trying?
Yeah, I mean, it's very small boats.
And as yes, it is small boats. And on top of that, it's literally Earth and Mars, well, UN and Mars, that caused them to be refugees.
Yes, yeah.
So again, we're back to like completely relevant these days, you know, to what happens on Earth.
They want
to
get away from you.
They want to get away from you. Yeah. And I mean, there's a bigger thing that comes up later, but I'm not going to get into that just now because I've got more.
I mean, it's very much us going over bombing the Middle East, and then when people flee, going, "Why are you trying to move in here?
Yeah, what the fuck do you want us over here? Get away!" Yeah, exactly. So yeah, you know, that's,
we've set up a government in your country that's trying to kill you. But why do you want to come here?
Honestly, this episode has put me so far on the Belter's side that it's like. Like I, because usually there's nuance, but this doesn't feel at all like there's nuance.
No, was that what was that image?
I said, "In your loader, piss off."
Because it does, like it just seems like well, Earth and Mars, they it's almost like they can agree when it's preserving capital, but when it's allowing Belters to have their freedom.
I can see the wee light bulb popping up above his head now.
Yeah, it's like, oh,
I mean, following that line, it is, you know, these gates lead to immense new resources, and they don't want the Belters to have them, they want to have them.
Yeah, well, we'll save all that for later because there's a whole big thing. Obviously, we know towards the end of the show, there's like the first big story beat of this series. So, if we can skip that, not skip it, if we can leave that to the end, please me a bit.
This would just sort of hint at that, but that is the only, to me, that's the only justification for Avatarella's position, is she's afraid that there's proto-molecule through there and it's going to be an even worse disaster than
Well, that's how she justifies it at this point. Yeah. Well,
she justifies it in a bunch of ways. That's one of them. And
okay. Yeah, that's the only one that's kind of vaguely you could argue plausible.
That was legitimate if you were sending a shit ton of science missions through and checking that out.
Yeah. We'll come back to that because I've got...
This is what the Ross and Nancy kind of is.
It's all the little...
Yeah, but... Very small scale and ad hoc.
It's a warship.
Like,
as well.
It's not like a big scientific expedition with a bunch of ships that, you know.
That they've done before.
Basically, there's privateering.
Do carry on without me, but I do need a cup of tea.
Okay. No, he's going to miss what I was going to say next.
That's right. Keep a hold of it. But
you've got something else to say. Oh, yeah, Miller. Sorry. Yeah. You're talking about Miller.
Miller. I kind of. What was I going to say? Also, like what's like transpired is that protomolecule isn't automatic. Like everyone knows that the protomolecule isn't automatically bad. So just because there is protomolecule on the other, that's not a disqualifying factor.
Well, it's protomolecule technology. Well, let's save this because I want to get all this in one big clump.
I will say that the protomolecule hasn't done a single genocide since Eros.
And even then,
it's been a very good point.
Genocide. The humans did, using it.
So,
and actually, those people are now part of the ring.
They are, yeah.
Right, the thing, you just went away just as I was about to say it, so we've said nothing, basically, because the next thing I was going to say is Peaches is now official.
Yay, Peaches! I like that as a nickname.
Yeah, because she called herself Melba and... Her name's Clarissa.
Yeah, yeah. Not the reason for it, it's a cool nickname.
It's a nice nickname, yeah. Notable that in a very Amos sort of way, he offered her an out on the journey back. Basically made it so that if she wanted to, she could have just not faced justice. That's she could have just...
Amos being kind.
Yeah, I mean, well, he was, really.
Yeah.
You know?
Although, I thought there was some friendliness in that conversation.
Well, I mean, he did say that they spent all the journey back because it had taken months, so...
Well, he. What I got from that is because she's being very open and what's the word? Like, sort of trusting, vulnerable with him, and he's kind of he doesn't even look at her.
Yeah, often. Like quite he occasionally looks continues back, working, but,
and then when the call ends, he kind of like has a particular look on his face, and I think he just really doesn't like her. He doesn't like seeing her caged.
No.
I think that's. Not just because it's her, but that's an offence to his idea.
Yeah, because he talked about that before. He'd rather be dead than be in a prison.
Mm.
Yeah.
He does not. He does not like people being caged. Yeah, is what I think.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, I think I don't know. I feel like there might be some sort of romantic connection there, a little bit, or a close friendship or something. You know, is that a poker face?
Me, I was just wondering where Drew went, mate.
Oh, right. Oh, okay.
The last thing you want is flashbacks to that journey. You hate flashbacks. Flashbacks are evil.
I mean, it's more right than the opposite.
It's a dead flashback.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't dislike her as a character. Didn't need the flashback, though.
I knew I shouldn't have made that joke because yeah.
Do you have any more sympathy for Peaches at this point? I know not much changed since the last episode, but is she more humanized now? Like, she's clearly a different person in a way now.
I still don't know what the point of her being in the story is, but
she's
fine.
Yeah,
It doesn't feel like she seems, out of all of the characters in the show, she doesn't seem as deep. She's like,
that's because you hated the flashback and didn't pay attention.
But the thing is, the flashback was just like, oh, I'm going to avenge my father because I've got father issues.
Well, I think that's kind of the point. I think that's why she has no depth to her. She's a stunted human being, stunted by having, you know, him as a father. And now it's the first time in her life that she's free to discover who she is. And ironically, she's locked in a fucking prison cell. You know, like.
But, you know, all right. Good luck to her, I guess. Send her a pack of cigarettes. You can't smoke in prison now, can you?
Yeah, that's fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
What's the point of even going there?
Exactly. Basically just drugs.
Drew's not up for it because, you know.
I did hear they like D&D in prison, which makes a ton of fucking sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Complete mental escape, yeah.
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 So Peaches is official. Amos offered her on it. The other thing, while we're on the Rocinante, which I find quite interesting, is that although again it was a bit hammered home by the plaque going up in a sort of Star Trek style.
they've
sorted it out. Obviously, presumably, Avasarala has said, "Look, they've done loads to help us. Mars, just let them have this fucking ship,
or just paid for it."
Yeah, maybe, yeah. So the Rocinante now belongs to those four people, you know.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Avasarala. That's nice.
She cleared that up. And also that brings up the... Well, no, that's in a little bit, actually. But,
and this is Holden looking very particularly like a Calvin Klein model.
Yes. There's something about Stephen Strait, he just doesn't suit the beard.
I know what you mean. I do. And also, I think his hair's too big for his head. I think he'd look good with a shaved head, but I do tend to think that about everybody. So
I don't know.
Doesn't Chris?
I mean, the beard, it's...
I've seen Chris with shorter hair, and it was better.
No, I like it.
It's better with his glorious buns.
I like Chris shaved.
It gets cut off in the...
Don't know.
No.
Jesus, if you've gone that far, you might as well keep going.
In the green screen.
Oh, I see.
Sometimes you don't get the full height of it.
Chris has the most belter hair out of us.
Maybe. I don't know. It's more Klingon than belter. But
if you undercut the sides, it would be totally a belter.
But yeah. I could do that. I could have the Miller thing because of the hair, you know. No, I'm not going to. I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't want to get into this just now because it's...
decisions.
There's a lot more... No. I mean, there's a lot more going on than just the style thing, is what I'm saying. It's the reason that it's all not shaved and everything is, you know, it's just because I've not been able to cope with anything and it's just all gone. So the style of it all will come, you know, come back later.
How about massive beard, no hair?
I like that. I like that look.
While I'm getting older and possibly losing a bit, I mean, it's not... I've got, like, the Widow's Peak thing. I don't know, I'm losing my hair. It's not thin or anything, but... No, I think it'd be a waste. While I've still got some dark hair left, I think I'd like to try it out.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What about you, Drew? You could go big beard, no hair on top.
Yeah, my beard... I don't really grow a good beard. It doesn't get... It doesn't really get much longer than this.
Yeah, mine just swirls around and everything.
I like those, you know, the thick beards that like Mediterranean people can grow where it looks fucking thick and like dense. Like, I wish I could grow that kind of beard.
Well, will it? Manifest it. That's what Noel Edmonds says.
And have you seen his beard?
Well, he wasn't manifesting a beard. He was just manifesting
being a twat.
Whatever the Noel, yeah, the Noel Edmonds house party.
He visited my village once.
Sorry.
That's the end of that story.
Do you know what? I'd love to go urban exploring in Blobby Land.
No. See, I never watched it. I know you've got like a thing about Mr. Blobby and stuff. I never watched it. It wasn't.
See, that was the thing. It was meant as a joke, it was meant as a sort of scam, fake thing, and then it took on a life of its own,
and then it died. But like, yeah, apparently Noel Edmonds had to live in Blobby Land for a while when he was going through some hard times.
For some reason, that's made me think of Chris Eubanks, who got quite rich from the boxing. Eubank. And essentially spent all his money. Like, one of the things he did was he rented out like a truck, like a big delivery truck with a banner saying like "Stop the War" on it or something, and just drove it around Parliament for 2 weeks. That's pretty cool, dude.
I thought he spent
something like 30 grand for the title of town crier in the little like Devon town where he lives or whatever, and like stuff like that. He's just, I love him.
Oh, he could be town crier for free, right? Like,
no, because it's like an official position that you'd like, you can buy, apparently. I don't know how that works.
I thought you were appointed by the mayor or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh my god, I saw a real town cry when the Queen died. Oh no, or the ascension of Charles III.
I saw your video of it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. It's weird, do those stockings only come out? Does like that? I think that outfit is just like whoever becomes the town crier just has to fit into the outfit. That's like the one, the one vague criteria. Yeah,
every 80 years.
I think Holden's outfit, the way you were gesturing there for a second.
But I think that's actually kind of quite close to the truth. I know that in our town, basically, we have like something like two or three mace bearer costumes, outfits, uniforms, whatever they're called. And it's like, if you fit into one of them, you can be the one of the mace bearers. Because it's like, there's no fucking way the council are writing a check for a new, like, town crier uniform.
For sure.
New Elizabethan.
It's yeah.
Victorian, and all this stuff is Victorian.
Yeah. We should get rid of it. We should have the suits. just wear a fucking suit. If you have to, or a hoodie. Yeah. Or monk's robes.
Monk's robes would be cool. Just get an actual monk.
My step uncle's a monk.
Really?
Oh, what kind of order? Monk?
Franciscan friar.
They're the best ones.
Oh.
I thought about becoming a monk at certain points in my life, and that Franciscan was what I was thinking about.
You know who was trained to be a monk but didn't? Tom Baker.
Really?
Mm.
He's too tall for some reason. You can't have a tall monk. That doesn't make sense.
Well, yes, you can have a tall monk.
No, you can't have a tall monk.
Uncle Dom's quite short.
Monks are not necessarily like chubby or anything, but
you're thinking of a friar. Friar tuck.
Yeah, I think monks are wrong. You've got to have the monk aesthetic, and that's a short aesthetic.
Given the only monk I know in real life fits that, I can't really argue.
You proven.
It's like, humble, biologically humble.
Yeah.
Yeah, that might be, maybe that's something to do with it. Yeah, tall monk. Tall priest, fine. Tall monk doesn't look right.
Yeah, yeah.
Hmm.
Catholicism I see. Explained by what they call a lapsed Catholic group. Yeah.
Well, anyway, yeah, monk's robes. Yeah, totally. I like monk's robes. Monk's robes
are great.
And one size fits all, right?
Cassock.
I was watching old University Challenge earlier today.
Is there a monk on that?
One of the contestants was dressed in monk robes. Yeah, they never explained it, but I assume he was a student at the college and also a monk.
I mean, was it one of the Oxbridge ones? Because they do have monks.
I think it was. Yeah, yeah, I think it was an Oxbridge one.
Well, what was he reading?
Can't remember.
It might have been theology. See,
monk studies.
That comes under theology.
The only time in real life where I saw nuns, I've never seen a monk in the wild, but the only time where I saw nuns was on public transport and in art galleries. There's so many of them in art galleries, like full of nuns. If you ever need a nun, go to your local art gallery.
I've met a few nuns and stuff.
Actually, I saw a when I went to London, I was taking the circle line to get from one train station to another, and I saw one of those Hasidic rabbis.
Oh, yeah.
With the hat, the gowns, the big Torah, is it the big Torah book, and on top of his Torah book there was a 4-pack of Skol Super Lager.
That's a very British image. Yes, like.
Yeah, very yeah. British. Yeah.
I don't even know if they were like his. He wasn't drinking them. He might have just been holding them for a friend or something.
Well, alcohol is not prohibited in Judaism.
Mm. Not even Super Lager.
I don't think they specify. No mention of that in the Talmud.
Mm. Oh, you could be, I mean, you know, that is the devil's drink, is Skol Super.
Well, it's like, you know.
That White Lightning. That was the.
Yeah, well, or Special Brew, obviously, is the other.
Yeah, Special Brew. Yeah.
Well, Skol Super is the Special Brew equivalent, isn't it?
Yeah. Or cheap wine, you know, you can get quite drunk off cheap wine.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
But if you know, if you're hardcore, you need the higher.
My first drink that me and my friends actually bought ourselves was 2 liters of Co-op cider. And like, I think 4 of us got pissed off that. We were 11, and we just got pissed off that, and it was great.
I once thought I scored a killer deal when I got 4 cans of Tesco own brand lager for like £2. And I thought, oh, this is great. It's going to taste like shit. I was well prepared it would taste like shit. But like, you know what? I can get absolutely smashed off this. And I got through maybe about 6 cans going, I don't fucking feel much. I don't feel a thing. It turned out it'd be like 2% or something.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, they're you know, you basically can drink them all day. It's you know, it's a breakfast lager, you know.
Yeah. But it tasted bad and it didn't get you drunk. I don't even know what the point of it was. I don't think do they sell it anymore? I don't even go down that aisle of the supermarket.
Remember when I went to a party when I was probably like 15 or something, and like to be cool, I took a pack of non-alcoholic beer.
To be cool.
And yeah, and I think that was my first taste of beer. I think that put me off beer for life, honestly. It was disgusting.
You could have been cooler and took some shandy.
Yeah, you can buy shandy. Yeah. Your 2% beer has probably got about much alcohol as a can of shandy, right?
Yeah, probably. Mm. And that brings up the eternal question, when does a lager top become a shandy?
I was never a beer drinker, so I don't know the ways of the shandies and that.
Yeah, it's the only thing. It's the only alcohol I drink is lager. Like
you take lemonade, which is nice, and put something disgusting in it.
I quite like the taste of
some
of
lagers
beer
are actually
drink.
Okay though. Some if you lagers, get something yeah, nice yeah. like Red Stripe, the Jamaican one, that's quite nice.
Oh, I've never had that.
No, I mean, never I didn't had a beer that I like apart from. What's the Scottish Scout Stout?
McKay's Make. Yeah,
that's good shit. But other than that, that's the only beer I've ever liked, really.
Mm. Well, I don't know whether or not it's the alcohol or not, but I occasionally have the non-alcoholic beers. Just sometimes people like if you know buy them for me usually. And one of them is fine, but after I've had one, it's all right. Like, but with beer, I could drink again and again and again. But like,
really, beer just tastes bad. I don't understand it. It's one of those words.
My alcoholic uncle runs in the family. Mm-hmm. Was fond of saying that beer was an acquired taste, you know, and it was a sort of, you know.
But there are things that are supposed to be
deeper meaning
taste
to that.
That I like,
you know.
That I like, right. That I liked off the bat, like I think whiskey I liked off the bat.
I've never liked strong spirits at all, you know.
Yeah, see, I like the taste of strong spirits. I don't like the taste of beer.
Anywho, I think we were talking about The Expanse or something. Was it
Expanse? What the heck's The Expanse? Is that that show that got cancelled on Amazon Prime?
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. So we're at the UN. And with Holden, Abisavala, UN, etc., etc., they're talking about this new, what looks like proto-technology, and they see these, like, how would you characterize those, Chris? Drew's into the more aesthetic things, aren't you? How would you characterize those structures?
Spurs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. They're kind of slightly curved, though, weren't they?
Mm.
Hang on, are we talking about the Shurkins?
Well, like, not a spur in the sense Shurkins. Of a cowboy, but a spur in
yeah,
the sense
I know
of
what
like,
you mean,
a,
in
a
geology,
bone.
Geological. Yeah.
A bone protrusion on an animal, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
A curved one of those is called.
What's a Shurkin? Sorry, I don't know what a Shurkin is.
Ninja Death Star.
Fucking hell. Okay, two things wrong with that. But anyway, that's called a shuriken.
Okay. Shuriken.
Shuriken. S-H-U.
You are both saying the same thing.
No, we're not. Fuck you, English prick.
No, you absolutely are.
Anyway, shuriken.
And as far as I can't really understand either of you because, your
fair
provincial
enough.
Accents.
Fair enough. But shuriken. A shuriken. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway.
A shuriken, yeah.
But Ninja Death Star. Fucking hell. Jesus.
Well,
I know.
Ninja Death Star
is fine. I know. I knew what you meant, so yeah. Anyway,
well,
what are you talking about with shuriken?
I thought you didn't know what shuriken was.
Where's the shuriken that you're talking about?
Later on in the story, don't worry about it.
Spoilers.
No, not just that. It's like I've got notes for once, for fuck's sake.
Spoilers for stuff we haven't said yet.
Yeah, spoilers for stuff we haven't said
yet. Later in the script.
This is the thing, you guys go off script too much. Too much.
Not enough, if you ask me. You do realise no one watches this for The Expanse. Everyone watches
this
for the Expanse.
That's why I'm manfully trying
all right,
to bash
all right, anyway,
through this.
He's made some notes, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's get the Expanse stuff out of the way.
Illis 4, or just known as Illis, is the name of the planet that the Belters have settled on, the ones that survived. Because at the start of the show, a bunch of Belters tried to get through. Some of them got shot at. Some of them made it through. And some of them...
Interestingly, named after the Left 4 Dead 2 character. Illis.
Ah.
Anyway. Illis 4...
Mm-hmm.
Known by the UN as New Terra, however, which is the name of the episode, New Terra. So then Holden has a meeting with Avasarala. She tells him about the proto-tech spur things sticking out of the ground on Illis. And what Amos wants to know is how was she? Holden replies, said she was fine. Yeah, yeah. What? Mm-hmm. Come on, Drew. What does Amos say next?
No. What was she wearing?
Oh, yeah, that was it.
And Holden just sort of goes, it's good to be home. Walks away.
Yeah. I do love that. I love Amos's
personality. It's excellent. Yeah. Okay, then we get a bit of Bobby.
Yeah.
Is Bobby a student at a university or something?
What?
Why'd you say that?
Well, yeah,
because she's house sharing and she's eating.
No, well, like she family. Doesn't have a house. I think she's living with like relatives or something.
Yeah,
I think it's her brother.
I think it's her brother.
Oh, right. Because
yeah.
she looks like I was just getting student vibes. She's taking public transport.
It does have student, like the microwave suppose. Meal.
Yeah, and the hair.
Like, yeah.
Meal.
Yeah. Her hair looks nice. I mean, I did like her hair like that.
That'd be a much nicer student house than I ever
had.
Yeah, they're nicer now. Mine was nice.
Mine was not. Ours were not. We're not nice. But Bobby, so sad Bobby, which makes me sad. I don't like seeing sad Bobby.
Mm. Yeah. I thought she was on the Ross and Ante.
Well, at the
she
end
of
the series,
the last
she was.
Episode.
Yeah, yeah. But then again, maybe that was just for the journey home.
Now she's just like a shipbreaker.
Yeah, so that's basically what she's doing as a job is shipbreaking. Mm. The other thing is she's Aunt Bobby, so that's is her brother.
I've got a Bobby based question.
Okay.
How tall is Bobby, do you think?
Well, she's quite tall. Yeah, and now see, I noticed this. There's either quite a lot of very short women on Mars. But she is quite tall. She is quite, I think she's about 6 foot, but yeah,
so that,
there's one about 30 seconds before that as well.
That's...
Yeah, there's a woman about 30 seconds before that was fucking tiny as well.
Let me full screen this.
Oh, no, those are school children. There are school children there.
Well, who's the silhouette on your shoulder?
Hang on, Bobby. I need to full screen Chris.
Bobby?
Wait, that one's Bobby?
That one's a woman.
Yeah, wow. That's not a school child, that's a woman.
No, that one's not a school child, but there are school children on Mars.
Yeah, but if you go back to
I always thought like Bobby's quite tall.
I mean, the actress is quite tall.
But that's very tall.
Yeah, that makes her look very tall, yeah.
Or that's a very short woman.
Well, I think there's a couple woman, of very
that's,
short
that's
women.
That's man. She's about the same size as the man.
Yeah, she's about the same height as most of the male crew members on the Rosinantes. But taller than Alex, I think. Yeah. No. You're in the right scene, but you're at the wrong spot. There's another woman. No, over her left shoulder, rather.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, you're going to see the one. He's spotted it. He's going to screenshot it for us.
I'll screenshot it, yeah.
But the viewer see what we're talking about.
Okay, viewer see, viewer do.
That's what they say.
Yep, okay. All right, here we go. Activate.
I mean, that's obviously there's a bit of...
She's much taller than that. That woman's like about as big as her forearm.
Yeah, I was going to say there's obviously perspective going on there, but as she comes closer to the camera and everything, you'll see it. But yeah, it's like... Are they trying to make out that she's some sort of giant or something, you know?
Well, there's another one where let's see. I've got to read out select background every fucking time.
I don't know how tall Frankie Adams is, actually. Let's find out.
So that is like more of a regular sized woman.
And she's still like head and shoulders above. Yeah. I mean she is a tall woman. Yeah. But
I would say Bobby's about
5'10". Sorry, I've been distracted by the picture here of Frankie Adams.
I think he's taller than that. You think? Maybe.
She walks past a guy who I'm going to assume is vaguely average height.
I mean, it says 5'11".
Okay.
On various sources.
You're very,
So she's slightly taller than me.
I mean, they might even give her like heels and stuff on the show to make her look even taller than she is, perhaps.
Yeah, well, she usually wears those big boots as well. Like the suit had boots. All the people in the suits. Because if you look at Diogo when he's in the suit, he's obviously not that big. But he fits the suit, so he's like, you know.
But no, the Bobby moment between Bobby and other fact army navy men.
Navy, the ex-navy man. Yeah.
And she essentially says to him like. You know, if you hate what you're doing, you've got to convince yourself that it's meaningful. And I think she's talking about her current situation there. Like she's trying to convince herself that what she's doing is worthwhile.
Yep. Mm. Yeah. So she's a civvy, and she's lost everything. Is the point?
Yeah.
Including her pension and everything. Sad. Yeah. It's not nice. But, no.
Purposeless Bobby is sad for me.
And
she should be free.
So, you know, the Aunt Bobby thing comes up because, it's her brother she's living with. We know that. But, you know, it's kind of implied anyway that either brother or sister that she's living with.
I do have another Drew irrationally hates a character with the nephew.
Oh, yeah. No, I fucking hated him from the start.
Okay.
And not to be too teleological, but fairy fucking naff as well. But I hated him right from this.
But I like his girlfriend.
Yeah, she seems lovely.
Okay.
But also one thing, and I noticed this about The Expanse in a lot of ways, but because it's mostly on ships, I guess you don't think about it as much because there's probably more rationale. But like this particular apartment, one of the reasons I was thinking it might be student accommodation is because it like, look how sterile that is. Like, people
seems to be a bit of a Martian aesthetic though, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, they're all living under domes in presumably like prefab, just drop in, slotted in. It's all going to be very regular. Yeah. Not. I don't necessarily think it's like an aesthetic that they're adhering to out of choice. It's just
it's just how it is. Yeah, it's just how. Yeah.
Well, that's how styles come about for sure. But and in the future stuff. But it's not just necessarily that this is all mass produced stuff like an IKEA showroom. But it's also like it's super tidy. Nothing's out of place. Like.
Mm.
And like on a ship, yeah, you don't have random shit lying around because at any moment you need to lock down and do something, right?
I mean, again, Martians do have that kind of like that, you
that
know,
mentality
responsible,
anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, did you not hear all the sort of Orwellian background communications?
Yeah,
excuse me a second.
Yeah.
You two can talk about anything you want now.
Right. Darth Vader's
the
calling.
Emperor's calling. Yeah. It's nice though. Like it looks better than IKEA.
I mean, it looks like IKEA. Like I don't dislike IKEA. I don't get me wrong. Sure. I know that it's soulless and whatever, but like, you know, so is everything
IKEA,
else.
IKEA
right?
shouldn't need to exist, and also it was founded by a Nazi. So
the Holocaust aside, they do decent stuff at decent prices. Like I don't have a problem with it. Like
they do shitty stuff at shitty prices. Anyway,
they,
I don't want to
fine.
Get into another.
Like,
it's not fine.
It lasts for a long time.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
You must have a very light touch. Oh, you'd be a good space actor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, weightless.
Ooh.
Ooh. That's 1950s space acting. Like you're underwater.
Hamish looks like he's doing an old Dom Jolly scene.
He does. I'm on the podcast!
I think it should be a rule. If you get a call during the podcast, it has to be on the pod. You have to take it on the podcast.
I mean, who gets phone calls nowadays?
Yeah.
Like it's like usually if I get a, it's like my mechanic basically, and it's like, yeah, well, that's not going to be fun for the podcast, is it? Because it's just, yeah. No, I don't know. Like, yeah, I don't dislike the minimalism of it. I just find it unrealistic.
I don't really see it as minimal, but yeah, why unrealistic though?
Because I don't think people.
Oh, you think naturally... they would be messier?
Yeah,
it's
messier.
It's very small. It's much easier to keep a small.
Sorry,
place
I had to
tight.
Take that. It was my mum. She might be getting home from hospital. Okay. Not that that's going to make sense on a video after a while, but you know.
Offer your well wishes feedback at thepolarbear.co.uk.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So I'll probably see her in person for the first time in about a month if she gets home.
Oh.
It's very difficult. Where she is, it's very difficult to get to in a reasonable... Yeah, anyway.
I'll never forgive the bus cuts. It's like...
Yeah.
They want
it's not
us
just
to
that.
Not drive
it's,
as much.
It's not just that. Right? No, there's more to it than that. There's more to
it. Yeah. Oh, no, yeah, that was unrelated tangent. I'm just in general... Right?
I mean, and the trains they cut all the train lines and then cut all the and then
outrageous.
Yeah,
like it's just like no buses are buses, trains, all sorts. Like you can't expect us to not drive. And tire dust is like a really bad thing as well as the emissions, as well as the production line and all of it from beginning to end. And in fact, another thing that is really bad for the environment is concrete as well. Like, you know, like just actually making roads really bad for the environment. Like all of it from beginning to end. It's like train tracks, metal, gravel, boom, you go. Monorail, don't even need to fuck with the environment. You can have it above the environment. Why aren't we doing this shit? It's crazy. Oh, yeah.
Because it's not making enough money for somebody, that's why.
Oh, we've got enough money for fucking AI, haven't we? We're going to become an AI fucking powerhouse and kill any remaining culture this planet's got.
Well, it's not even that. It's the problem with the AI thing for this is we're talking about Keith here, I presume, and his sudden interest in AI. It's a bubble that's already about to burst, and everybody else on the planet knows
it. It has already burst.
All the huge investors have pulled out of it, and fucking our prime minister thinks it's now a good time to get
into it. UK governments. The UK government's always like, it's like Canonical. They're just always like 6 months behind any curve. You know what I mean? It's like, we've had this idea. We're going to put all of our fucking eggs into this shitty basket that everybody's already proven it's shitty.
Yeah. And I mean, 3D glasses. What films for 3D glasses? They're going to put loads of fucking money in that now, aren't they?
Are they?
Yes.
Jesus.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Right, because that's come and gone four times in my lifetime.
Yeah. But in fact,
All government paperwork is going to be scratch and sniff now.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure there was even that much of a bubble to begin with because it was never profitable.
I think there's a lot of like VC money sloshing about in it because it's like you got to hop on. Well, if you know under capitalism, if you're a VC, you've got to hop onto that kind of thing in case it is the next big thing. But from what I understand, nobody's investing now.
No one's got rich off it, really, is it? Like.
Well, nobody's. This doesn't seem to be a
the
way
thing
to
is,
make
see, this
profit
is the,
out of it.
This is the thing. There's a lot of other people. See, the thing about making money is things don't always have to be successful because disaster capitalism exists as well, which is why lots of people became very rich out of Brexit. They bet on the. I mean, money that Farage has been shown to be connected to this, and so was Boris Johnson. They were both connected.
Rees-Mogg.
and Rees-Mogg, they were all connected with funds that made money when the pound crashed.
Mm.
And they crashed the pound.
But I mean, the thing is, the reason the pound didn't crash because we Brexited, the pound crashed
at
the
different market, points. Yeah, yeah.
Because the market was speculating on it crashing because of Brexit.
But these people should have been back in Britain if they were
Keynes described the market as, you're not trying to predict the market. You're not even trying to predict what other people are going to do in the market. You're trying to predict what other people think other people are going to do on the market.
Mm. Yeah. That's anyway. A lot like betting and odds and everything as well, to be honest. I mean, it's all gambling.
Yep, that's it's exactly what it is. But it's somehow...
It's rich people gambling, so yeah, they're thinking
it's respectable, and if they lose money, they can get it back somehow. It's like, fucking what? Yeah.
Well, the one that blows my mind is short selling, where you can make money from a thing declining in value.
Yeah,
which is insane.
Well, that's kind of similar to the betting on the currency going the wrong way. Anyway, Aunt Bobby. So Aunt Bobby is brought up. Now, I mean, I'm going.
Cool hair.
Sorry, I just want to check, make sure Drew hasn't. You've not sent me any private messages when you said something earlier, have you? No. Okay. Oh, fucking hell. Gone again. I don't know why I keep going off. I've no idea what's going on there.
Well, as Charles Dance says, pop off queen.
Does he?
Yeah, what? He said that once.
I don't know what any of that
any context.
Oh, it means, well, you popped off, didn't you?
Yeah, but I meant the Charles Dance part.
Oh, he said pop off once.
What, in a film? Or?
I think it was on Channel 4. Okay, so...
Am I going to find out? No, I was going to say I won't find out because I'm doing the recording, so I won't find out what you said while I was away. So, fuck knows what that meant.
It won't make it.
Oh,
anymore.
Does that mean that's not? Yeah.
Yeah, you don't.
No,
don't
that,
be...
no, that doesn't make it make any more sense.
No. It doesn't
okay.
Help.
Well, don't be too funny, Will, if I lose connection because, you know.
Well, do you also know who lost connection? Well, actually. That was just a sort of my attempt at a transition. I don't think it worked. Was Alex and Bobby because the delay?
Well, that was a good little segue. That
yeah, but they didn't lose connection. They gave up on the call.
Yeah,
but
it's close enough for a segue.
Okay, all right.
If you hadn't explained it and gone on about it, that might have worked. It's like explaining the joke.
Did it work? Email in. I want to know what works and what doesn't. Also, did you know when Charles Dance said pop off queen?
Well, hang on. Before we reveal about Charles Dance, let's do like some AB stuff. Like go back, do a different segue. Or like don't do the segue and then they can say which they preferred.
All right. Let's see. Do you also know who likes meals out of the oven? This guy.
I actually like both of them, but the second one, the energy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and they're not explaining it.
So they're friends now or something, right?
Well, they're both Martians on the ship, so they kind of had that all along, really, didn't they?
Yeah, they've always tried to force a friendship there, but there's never been chemistry.
Like, no.
I don't think Alex is. I don't think Alex's actor is capable of chemistry.
Yeah,
he doesn't really have chemistry with anybody in the show, even in the bits where, like, when he's been in a bar with Amos, and like, there's been parts where he was supposed to have chemistry, and he just doesn't. Seem
Yeah, and then there was that bit where Amos was like, "There's no fucking chemistry here," so we hired the sex worker just to take his place.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't want to talk to this boring cunt. Can you just sit on and listen to this?
Okay. Well,
sorry, space cunt. Sorry,
space cunt. Moving on to another little interesting bit before we get to the big.
Hang on, before you move on, I think Chris had something to say about nephew's girlfriend.
Oh,
Aunt Bobby, that woman. That young lady.
Yeah. I mean, she seemed cool, but also, like, she didn't know where that food was or whose food that was. She just picked up some random food and just like,
I did that kind of thing. I would do that. And I know...
To
me, that's normal, but I know, like, people sometimes get offended by shit like that, and it's weird to me.
No, because it was, like, it was a weird over-familiarity. Some might say almost... It's a bit flirty almost, but
to me, if there's food and it's not like in front of somebody on a plate with knife and fork, that's communal.
It could be gone off. It could be like, oh, I'm just putting this out ready for the bins.
Well, you know that when you put it in your mouth, that's fine.
But I mean, I'm pretty easygoing.
Well, like, if you think back, I think, you know how they do references to other films and stuff?
Mm.
I mean, I'm probably stretching here, but that could be a reference to Jaws.
Because she has jaws.
No, Richard Dreyfuss comes in to see Chief Brody, and you know there's the food, and when he goes, "Oh, are you eating that?" and just basically starts eating their food and stuff like that.
Ah,
best bit in Jaws is Richard Dreyfuss and not the shark. He's having dinner with his son, and his son's like copying.
Oh, the copying thing, yeah.
Love that. I really love that.
It's very, very nice. Yeah? It's a nice wee bit.
We spent a lot of time on this Bobby bit because really it's just like, oh, catching up with Bobby, she's not on the Ross and Ante. Oh, but she's still keeping in touch with the old crew. Is that about it, really? And she's
She's got a shit job. She's got a shit job.
Oh, yeah.
And she's a bit sad.
Shit job, but cool hair.
But she's quite well known. She could have a Shows a Ting channel or something.
Yeah, she probably could, but I don't think that's her vibe.
I mean,
I can't tell you how I kicked them. And I punched her.
She basically murder some of her own squad. So
yeah, she's traitored Mars twice.
Yeah.
So I guess, based on the reaction of nephew's girlfriend, like she's cool with the kid. Like the kids get it.
She's
Louis Mangione of.
Luigi Mangione.
Yeah. I said Louis. That's clearly not. That's the French one.
We're not going back into that. Belters. Belters are police.
You kind of want to say
Belters. I'm a billionaire.
Yeah. I go a bang bang. I go, that's not a Miami tomorrow.
Bada bing, bada boom. You're there. There's no money now.
Actually, you just reminded me of one of the things that I've got. It's kind of related to this and to the Expanse in a way. I'm sort of incubating a game idea. I've got a lot of it written down, and there's other ideas coming into my head. And it's kind of, but one of the things is that pine cones. I don't know where I got that from, because there wouldn't be any pine cones in the Arctic. For some reason, though, the game has pine. This is a game. There's pine cones, and the pine cones of different types of pine cones are different kinds of weapon.
Mm-hmm.
I think I must have been dreaming a bit when I came up with this, when I think about it. So, but one of the things
There might be pine cones within the Arctic Circle, maybe.
That's true, because you will have... it's definitely an area for the pines.
Although, is there a bit of Sweden in the Arctic Circle? Or is
not in the Antarctic, where penguins tend to hang out.
Yeah, no, the penguins are invading the Arctic in this game.
Oh, good.
And that's why there's also cargo containers.
And they install in Linux on everyone's computers.
I see what you did there. Anyway,
like a new version of XBuild with penguins.
Anyway, I don't want to get into the game. This isn't a pitch. This isn't a pitch for something. This is me talking about something. Anyway, the thing came up.
Send your VC money to...
Yeah, send your VC money to Hamish, yeah. Actually, while we've got it, I mean, this is a video, so it's maybe not going to date it, but just thank you very much that since these two people have been pushing things, I've had quite a lot of donations, and it's paid for the server for the last 2 months completely. Thank you very much.
I'll push anything up anything.
Even a pine cone. Peanut, stop annoying me.
Come on, Peanut, we're having a heart to heart at the moment.
No,
very cool. That is very cool.
So,
but you should be fucking ashamed of yourself. Only 2 months, donate more, cunts.
Yeah. No, I mean, because the thing is, it's like
more and more as I, because I'm, I guess I'm the YouTuber out of the bunch. I mean, Drew, you've done a little bit of YouTube in your time,
I'm a sidekick.
You've got that video. What it's literally, it's an amazing video that I think you should at least put on PeerTube just for like to keep it in the sphere of like the history of computers, but things that only you find interesting.
The history of Unixy one.
Yeah, that's bring it in.
Yeah, bring it in. You're welcome.
I did like mentioning that.
But I mean, I feel less and less at home on YouTube by the day almost. Like, it's just like, it's not for people like us no more. It used to be, but it's not. And Polar Bear.
You mean as white men, right? There's no cultural spaces for white men anymore. This is the problem.
Oh, you too.
Oh, that's. I was being sincere, Drew. That was.
I'm sorry. I'm not usually the one that makes things insincere. I apologize for that.
So unlike you.
So there's pain corn.
So but anyway, yeah, no, like. I mean, we should do a fundraiser or something at some point because it's like...
There was going to be the big quiz and stuff as well, and that was going to be sort of semi-fundraiser, but I've not...
When everybody's in the mood and in the mental space to be able to do it, we should do like a telethon type thing.
Yeah, that'd be a good laugh. Get it's a like few an, guests an hour on thing and
where
stuff,
we
yeah.
play some game, play some wavelengths, play some games, have some like chat interaction quiz type stuff. That'd be cool.
Yeah. Because
depending on how things go with Mom at the moment, you know, if this settles down, I mean, it seemed like it settled down and then she got taken into hospital just before Christmas and she's still not back, unfortunately.
We got kicked out. I apologize for what I said about white men.
the powers that be got to you. Before we move on back to this, I fucking forget this pine corn thing. God, you bastard.
Pineapple.
So there's a pine cone and the weapons in the game or power ups or something like that. Something in the game's pine cones. It has to be pine cone because one of the things is pinus. All the things are pinus something because they're pine cones, and it's pinus go boom. Is the explosive one.
Oh.
And you two are the wrong way around now.
Oh, okay. One second.
All that for that one fucking joke, which is going to be... Well, because the way I pictured the whole thing, the game, is very... what's the word I'm looking for? You know, very old cartoons sort of thing. You know, Tex Avery, Roadrunner, Wile E. Coyote, you know, that kind of vibe. Yeah,
that kind of logic.
Yeah. So funny Latin names for things seems quite fitting.
I want a bit where you make some TNT look like a woman and somebody becomes attracted to it. That was always my favourite thing in Warner Brothers stuff. Like,
we can have it because I was thinking that could be our polar bear hero could be, you know, attracted to a very obviously not polar bear woman. Anyway. Right, so I've got it chronological, but it makes more sense if we don't do this chronologically.
Oh, for fuck, you're breaking your own rule now.
I know, I'm a prick.
Oh, hang on a minute. I just saw a thing. Have they changed the name of Shows the Ting in this season or something? Because if I show you this, this I'm afraid this might be chronological.
This is
so I'm
Marsh,
sorry if it is.
Isn't it?
What, like this thing here?
Zaltiway.
Yeah,
that's not the shorter thing. That's the scanner.
Ah, okay.
Because if you look below that, there's Shellap.
Shellap. Okay. Sorry. Yeah, you're saying not in order.
Doesn't matter. Anyway, so. We get this, so this is right here. We get back to the serious thing of the UN and the MCR are apparently awarding charters to people to go play. There's 1400 plus systems, and because the Belters found something, the UN and Mars have said, all right, yeah, this company can go and mine that. And they actually talk about it. That the main, you know.
It's very Eastern company.
I mean, they gave the guys colonial voices.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, yeah. Hey, what?
Not really. One of them's English. Oh yeah,
I mean, yes, okay.
But well, do you know Bern Gorman from other sci-fi shows? The guy that plays the captain of those.
Well, he was also in he was also in Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones. Yeah, I thought it was that guy, but he was a very different character.
Well, he's usually a complete prick in everything.
Jack or whatever it was.
He's a complete prick in everything he's in. He was also in Torchwood, and he was last year or the year before, he was in quite a creepy film about there's a woman living in a foreign country somewhere in mainland Europe. British, I think it's a British or American woman living in somewhere in mainland Europe, Scandinavia or something. And he plays like a neighbour in an opposite building, and it's kind of one of those psychological thriller things, and he's very good in it because he is very good at being a creepy bastard.
He is good at that, yeah. He's good at exuding threat in a way that I normally associate with Mancunians.
That's Peanut is going absolutely bonkers here. I'm going to take him out just in case he needs a pee. I don't think he does. Well, he'll do one just because he's trying to get my attention. But you guys can talk about this if you want, because I've got a couple of notes. But yeah, Bern Gorman is very good at being a menacing sort of character, I think. And he's the new bad guy. Well, what my exact note is, new prick, Murtry, because that's his name.
does he Bern have a Gorman kind of Mancunian accent in Game of Thrones?
No, he's not got a Mancunian accent. He's quite southern.
He's more London-y.
Yeah, he's
London-y.
Southern
town. He's London-y. Well, he's a little bit posh in this, but London-y.
Yeah. But I feel like he's like... I don't know how northern... Like, he doesn't sound particularly northern.
In my memory, he's northern, but I'm sure that memory is faulty.
Oh, it could be, I guess. I'm not great with accents, to be honest. Like, British accents.
Which is weird.
So we don't know how the ship goes down, do we? Like, it gets shot down, obviously.
We don't know that. All we see is, I think it leans away from shot because the holes are all different sizes. So it's not like just a large caliber gun just shooting it, probably. But, I mean, I do know, but so I'm not going to lead you. But we don't know. We don't know at this point.
Yeah. Also, with this new place, what's it called? Eyeless, is it? What's the gravity like on it? Because they obviously Naomi's getting her big injections in.
I don't think they explicitly say
most interrupted episode ever.
I assume it's just like Earth gravity is what I assume, but with no basis really.
Because it could be it could be kind of interesting if. Well, there's belters on it, and they seem to be doing all right. Ah, but many of them died, didn't they?
Yeah. And a lot of them had to come back to the orbit and stuff.
So some belters, presumably maybe the ones on Ceres or something, had enough resistance to it. But like the real rock hoppers probably would struggle quite a lot with this environment. Because there's a part of me that thinks that like...
Well, and Naomi and Kamina have that conversation about it, don't they?
Yeah.
Talk about within two generations, they reckon they'll be inners. I mean, I don't know how they're going to be inners suddenly, but they'll certainly not be. I get what she means, but
yeah. Well, I suppose they've got both. They'll be like biologically inners because they'll have the bone density, but also they will have free air. Like that. That'll just be something they won't have to worry about, and that's a bit of an inner thing, isn't it, or an earth thing to be more.
I think that's what she means. Like both the physiology and. The earther attitude of just abundant resources and not having to work for things.
Yeah.
As they say it.
But it'd be kind of interesting to see if there are any worlds with like higher than Earth gravity, like 1.5.
That'd be horrible.
Would it be more horrible than space?
Yeah. Imagine just like, I struggle enough to like, you know, you need to go and do something. Getting up out of your chair and that. It's a lot of hassle.
Oh, I missed
imagine
a bit.
If it was like, you know, 150% as effortful, horrible.
But you'd grow into it.
I don't want to.
Well, you won't want to.
I want to go the opposite way, like half gravity. That'd be nice.
Half gravity. Then we wouldn't need to bother with stairs. Do you know how much stairs fucking cost?
My sister actually used to work in a place that thought this. Okay, I don't. Should I say this? Yeah, I think that's fine. My sister used to work in a place that sold stairs, as in, you know, you call them, we want stairs, okay, we'll come and build you some stairs. Mm. And they did stairs for Uru Plays Dragon Queen out of Game of Thrones.
Oh, Amelia...
Earhart. And she spoke to her...
Clark.
Yes, I think my sister
Emilia
spoke
to her. Oh,
no. That's the one. Hmm. Amelia Air Clark.
I missed a bit of Belter's policing against pirates was the bit I missed.
That was an interesting bit, because that guy and Ashford is like, oh, Ashford, you've fallen, ain't you? God, turn cop.
Well, I think this is that tension, the crux of which is what defines a Belter, and I think they're all having conversations, you know, Naomi and Dom, you know, so Drummer clearly sees Belter as like a physiological thing and an attitude thing, but Ashford sees the future as, you know, a more united thing, but then that puts him against,
and he realizes that they're also just using him in a sense.
Oh yeah, know? No, he's well aware of that, I think, but I also like that Drummer and Ashford's relationship is preserved, like that little chat they have. Mm. Walking, they do a little talking.
Oh, so they did have drinks in the end.
Fair enough. I didn't press that one very hard, honest.
That's what she said.
I think he admits that he misfired, you know.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, yeah, absolutely, yeah, yeah. I think he outright says something along those lines, I think.
Mm. Yeah, so he's been.
But yeah, the interesting thing for Belters is here is them coming up with a self identity that fits the changing situation.
Mm. Yeah,
that they can all be happy with, which obviously, that, you know, that there's going to be conflict involved in that, because the different people are going to have different ideas about what that is.
Yeah, and I think,
but I think it's clear, like the what you could call the conservative position, we've got to carry on as we were before. That's not going to fly. Like the situation has changed too much for that to be possible, I think. Anyway,
so yeah, sorry. I mean, I imagine Belters, because they're kind of free spirits in that way, a bit like the free folk in Game of Thrones. You know, like. Mm. They're a bit like, just go through the fucking ring and just have at it.
I think they'd be very well suited to that, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just look at the slingshot dude.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
You know, that's like, he's kind of like a mascot for Belters in a way, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, doing stupid things for stupid reasons.
We're back to Wile E. Coyote here, aren't we?
Yeah. Ah, oh. That was only a painted on ring.
Yeah, that's literally it, isn't it? Yeah, that's literally what I was.
Right. No, the thing I've been hoping, the thing I've been dying to get to, mm-hmm. well, not really, I just knew it was coming up because we've all watched the same episode, was I'm waiting for the new Chris theory. No, so we've discussed that there's a new prick in the show in the form of Murtry, mm-hmm. played by Bjorn Gorman. Now, it's the UN and so it's UN people and a private corporation who appear to be militarized under Gorman.
I think they're like East India Company. Murtry. I think it's that kind of thing.
Yeah, it feels like it.
And they're coming down, and then something or someone starts shooting at them.
Mm.
Now, yeah, I mean, this is all part of the same thing. It's like, you know, so they're talking about basically what sounds like dodgy deals. He's obviously planning to throw the Belters out.
Yeah.
That's his plan. Yeah, I'll leave those two points for afterwards. But yeah, that's what we've got. And then, so they land, they get... I've mixed everything up. Bollocks. Because it's in chronological order in my notes when I made them. Okay, let's go back slightly or do this slightly. So who attacked the dropship? Someone or something attacked the dropship, but we'll come back to that in a minute. Mm-hmm. Two things. This is the one I wanted to ask you guys about. When Miller disappears, or the investigator disappears, Miller / investigator, where did he go? And was there an actual visual to that? I mean, you know how he sees the thing, but then he goes off. Was there a thing external to the ship there? Did you see that? I thought I saw something flying away from the Rocinante.
Okay, so that's a bit...
like a probe or something, but that makes no sense from what they've established. So it's probably my imagination.
When you find that, can you give me a timestamp on that?
Yeah, hang on, I'll have to...
I did have that a second ago.
That's towards the end, isn't it? Or the end, you know, the second half-ish.
Yeah,
it's definitely. just as they're coming to the... Oh, that's the wrong film. That's the wrong thing I'm watching. Alien Covenant. Alien Romulus. Shit.
Oh, that's where your sound bite came in.
Yes, that's why I had it open. I was thinking, why was that open? Oh, I know why it was open.
Oh, I found it. 29:47 for me. Out of
power, that's the cop to protect their haulers.
29:47. Here we go.
Just there. Yeah. Oh, no, it's not even what I thought. Sorry, were you guys hearing that?
Yeah, we can hear it. Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I didn't mean it. Obviously, when I got...
That's right, it's flavour for
when
the
I
podcast,
got disconnected, the thing went back on.
Okay, I know where he's going, but it's for teleological reasons.
Okay.
Yeah, now that I've watched it again, it's not... I withdraw the question because it's not what I thought.
I thought before we just all rewatched that, I thought that was him getting stuck back to wherever he resides when he's not presenting himself to Miller and getting reconstructed.
No, I thought...
like slightly different.
To Holden, you mean?
Yes, yeah.
It's funny, I mix those two up a lot as well. It's like I mix you two up and there's no connection, you know.
I do it with Wing and Ghosty friends. For some reason. It's like not similar, but just, yeah. So,
ignore that completely then. The other thing I want to it makes more sense once you watch it again, you go, oh, yeah, that makes sense. it wasn't what I thought at all.
What do you think out of interest?
Well, you see, like a zooming from the Rocinante through towards the station, like as if he lives in the computer of the station or whatever.
Right.
So,
yeah.
But no, I completely
that would make sense.
I misread that completely as something coming out of the Rocinante and flying away, but not our viewpoint, but something else coming out.
Oh, I see.
But it was just
right,
like it was just background. Yeah. It was just stars and stuff. It was nonsense. There was nothing. The other thing, though, about the Rocinante, two upgrades, two mods, whatever you want to call them. Mm-hmm. That guy in Luna sorted them out with atmospheric landing equipment. So they've got landing gear and an extendable ramp.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing, the other thing is weapons. They got a new weapon, they got a new railgun. So they're more powerful even than they were.
Which I'm not a fan of for aesthetic, like because when they fought before, it's all been they've been sort of like nimbly flying around things and shooting the PDCs, and that looks
cool. You've got missiles as well.
But just pointing at something so you can railgun it, that's less cool to look at.
Yeah, but it's much more effective.
Probably, yeah.
That's gone, as we've seen from some other battles in the show.
Yeah, well, the people being shot down trying to get.
Yeah. So Miller and the crew arrive. They all come in and discover the wreckage of the dropship from the UN expedition. The Belters think, probably quite rightly, in my opinion, that somebody's coming to fuck them over. But Holden thinks he's there to help them. Well, again, we're getting classic.
I have a question about the new Rocinante landing gear.
Does it look shit? Yes, it does.
Well, it's like the ship goes down
it's like
into
the
like
fuck
a ravine.
It's almost Wallace and Gromit level.
Yeah, and it comes out the side. Like, what happens if they land on a completely flat surface? Can they do that?
I've wondered that every time I watch this episode. Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, the ramp, you mean?
The frog in my throat.
Yeah, the ramp. Does
landing feet thing.
Oh, no, the ramp. The exit tunnel. The exit tunnel goes
maybe
perpendicular
they've got more than
halfway
maybe,
down
maybe
the ship.
Maybe they're attached to different airlocks.
Yeah.
Because there's two or three different entrances and exits to the ship, isn't there? There's something presumably. That goes straight to the cargo bay. There's like an emergency one, I think they mentioned at one point. Or was that a different ship? Anyway, yeah, I think there's more than one.
That seems like a lot of complication as opposed to just having a ramp at the bottom.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Because, yeah, it comes out...
Like, I mean, it looks cinematic, and I suspect that's why
that's
they went
probably
for
right
it.
There, but... Yeah. But yeah, that is a... That's our... well, it would be our contentious point for the episode if we weren't all agreeing anyway. Which we are, so, yeah. It's not perfect, it's not good. But the landing legs thing is... Oh, God, yeah.
You don't like the landing legs?
No, I think it's Wallace and Gromit sort of thing. It's too much. It was such a cool-looking ship that having this...
Oh, I agree with that. I think it spoils its lines. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But they obviously need something to stabilise it, or else the whole thing wouldn't work, because, these ships are designed to be vertical, basically.
Due to the acceleration
and all that stuff working.
I mean, they have a big net. They use a big net. That's kind of Wallace and Gromit.
That's very Wallace.
It is a bit, I suppose.
Warner Brothers. That's back to Warner Brothers.
Back to that stuff, Looney Tunes.
I mean, it's some things in real life are going to look Wallace and Gromit-y.
This is true.
Yeah, it's not an objection like it shouldn't look like that for its purpose. It's more just like I'm sad that it spoils the line.
That's my point as well. It's not as cool as it could be. Like, I think they might have been
just go in orbit and go down by shuttle. It's fine.
I know, something, but it's not that big a ship, so they couldn't really have much of a shuttle. They could have an attached shuttle, I suppose, but then that would spoil
they could have kept the Razorback and gone down one by one.
Well, two at a time, the Razorback.
The Razorback. I'm sure the Razorback cannot land, so forget that.
They'd have to mess with the lines of the Razorback to make it so it can land. We're on a whole...
Who's got the Razorback now?
I don't know, because...
Bobby?
I don't know. I can't remember where it ended up. It was probably seized as part of the Mao's assets.
It'd technically be still Mao's property, wouldn't it? So, government probably has it. Avicerella's personal shuttle now.
So, here we go.
The big finale.
The big finale, the proto-locusts.
No, Chris has a theory.
Yeah, no, that's what I've been waiting for, this Chris theory about these things. So, go for
Chris,
it.
Chris, what's your theory?
I think it's got something to do with the proto-molecule.
Oh, I thought you were going to have a bit more of an advanced theory.
Okay. And the spurs.
No, the spurs shot. The spurs is the thing sticking out of the ground.
Yeah. That they thought was the proto-molecule.
I think what's happening here is it's the historical basis of Angry Birds. And the structures are the structures, and the Angry Birds are the Angry Birds.
Yeah, gotcha.
I mean, it could just be part of me. Whilst I was watching it for the first time, I was thinking, I know that it was cinematically demonstrated to mean more than this, but I kind of thought maybe that was just like the local wildlife. We get shuriken rain. Now, you know,
do you not get the sense that they were it was like a swarm of insects? Is how I,
yeah, that's why I call them proto locusts, is what I've written down in a wee box. Peanut, stop it.
What did I call them? I call them something in my notes. Pointy insects is what I called them.
I have a question. Why are there trees on that landscape?
I have a lot of, there's no reason why they shouldn't be, but
did they plant the trees?
No, they would have been there. They've not had time to. Like, there's no reason why there shouldn't be, but it's weird that nobody notes it.
Yeah, and why they look just like earth trees.
There's water, there's trees,
they need water. They wouldn't be able to survive without water.
Yeah.
So that's a simple...
But it seems to have a similar hydrological cycle to the earth with water, clouds.
They've not had much time to talk about it in this episode, let's be honest.
No.
But it could... Actually, I was going to say something slightly teleological there. True. Yeah.
I'm okay with trees looking like earth trees in that, like, maybe that's the best solution for a tree.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Peanut, will you stop it?
But also, as I understand it, now I only heard this like on the radio a long time ago, so this could be complete bullshit. But if
if there are other planets where humans can survive, I'm told that the chances are they would be bigger than Earth. Like, it's mm-hmm. a peculiarity that Earth is as small as it is, whereas other planets that they've seen that seem most similar to Earth are bigger, and maybe that means more gravity, right? Like, quite a bit more gravity?
Not necessarily. It depends what the...
Not necessarily?
Depends what it's made
probably,
of.
Though,
density causes gravity.
Density.
Density,
yeah.
Well, I mean, probably, given that we're not going to be on... You know, it's probably going to be...
Well, we've got four different terrestrial planets that have got different densities, so...
Are they wildly different?
I was just thinking about that while I said it.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, they could have used my idea of just having heavier objects.
I'd like to see that, yeah.
Just like, oh yeah, people.
I'm on a NASA site looking at something.
There is a Futurama episode where they go down to a planet with very high gravity and like their hair is like flopping down.
Everyone's hair is just like.
Well, or maybe Mercury's density is 5,429 kilograms per meters cubed. Sorry, so 5,429 for Mercury, 5,243 for Venus, 5,514 for Earth, which is where our unusual density comes from, and Mars is only 3,934.
Oh, so Mars is significantly less dense. The other three are. Ballpark in the same kind of
Maybe Venus might get terraformed and it might actually be quite a nice Earth too.
Well, you've got a lot of because the changes
Venus is currently Earth's worst possible future.
Yeah, the point
it's protomolecule.
Yeah.
We're mixing up real life and the.
No, I'm not talking for real life. I'm talking about protomolecule world.
Okay, I'm not. What I was about to say is that Venus and Mars exist the way they are because, and Earth, and everything else in the solar system, exist because of the life cycle of the sun, of our star. Mm-hmm. So... As you know, as the star gets hotter or cooler, or you know, expands or contracts or whatever over time, depending on various factors, that will affect any bodies orbiting it. So the Venus was at one point much better for much more like Earth-like. You know,
something I remember hearing completely unsourced is that our sun, for suns of its size and type, is weirdly serene, and when they look at other stars of the same type,
well, that's what
they're
they call
much
them.
Angrier.
Well, it's a main sequence star, so
but yellow, whatever it is, of the particular size, they have a lot more solar
activity. It's really hard for me to concentrate at the moment. He's
a lot more solar storms, solar flares, all that kind of stuff, which would make the Earth uninhabitable if our star was like other stars of its type seem to be. That's. Hazily remembered, so if that's wrong,
email. Sorry, I'm finding it really fucking hard to get. I don't know what he wants. I really
he wants
don't know
to be on the podcast.
Wants.
Well, much like Peanut, I need a piss right now. So
no, he doesn't. Right. He just had one. Mm-hmm. He keeps looking out and looking down at the car park and getting excited whenever anybody comes around, even though there's nothing for it. There's nobody for us. We are alone. Oh. You'd think he'd have got used to that, but no.
Oh, he's a young'un. How old's he? Like 4?
Yeah, it's his birthday actually. Today, I think.
Oh,
just realised. Might be today.
Send wishes, happy birthday, Peanut. Wishes to the.
But this is a video, so you know. Today being the 15th of January, 2025.
Yeah, given posthumously.
Well, he's dead.
No, but it's no longer his birthday. Hang on a minute.
Posthumous means after death.
What? Post birthday. Post.
Belatedly.
Belated. That's the one. That's the one. Belatedly.
Try to kill us all off. I mean, in 100 years, none of us will be here. So,
No, and then, and then a few more years, we'll be all swallowed up by the sun. So. Something to look forward to, I guess.
So, Once Drew comes back, Chris, we'll get your Chris theory. Here he comes. Okay.
Well, okay, but it's a little bit like...
What's the Chris theory?
Okay, so you're right there, Drew? Oh, okay. Oh, I bet he's making a cup of tea. I only get one cup of tea per Space Virgins, I'd like you to know, and a glass of squash. I'm all set up for...
Oh, is it squash? Is that... I was going to ask what it was. What flavour?
Ribena. Oh, Robinson's, actually. Apple and blackcurrant.
See, apple and blackcurrant is one of those flavours I sometimes go for if I ever do go for squash. I don't often.
Some reason... Yeah, I like the purple coloured squashes. Don't really care what flavour. I just like.
Hang on, like Chris' theory is about squashes.
I like the purple ones, but I don't like any other colour. For some reason, like the colour is what affects whether or not I like it.
That's like me with bathroom products, like shampoo and shower gel. Got to be green if I can get them green. I'll green. So my hair generally smells of apples. Because that's what the shampoo is. It's green, the apple shampoo.
And if you had a car, what colour would it be?
Beige.
I don't know.
Oh my god! Like red for the fastest, or?
Oh god, no! That's fucking hideous. No. Probably yellow? A dark green would be what I'd go for.
We had a beige Cortina when I was a
or
kid.
Maybe I quite like those metallic greys they've got now that are kind of. No, like there's a new one. Oh, yeah, but these are kind of... It's more about the texture and the light refraction.
Like iridescent.
Stuff. The iridescence, yeah.
I quite like navy blue.
No, I don't like
but blue. Like...
Anywho.
Dark green.
Christy.
Marine. That's quite nice.
Christy.
Because we are running very
long now because of my interruption, sorry.
Well, and because of our various tangents, which people like, I believe.
Yeah, that's fine.
If you don't like the tangents, fuck off. Okay, so...
I thought you were going to say email.
Yeah, leave a message, but... Yeah. Fuck off. I think they probably would have by now if they didn't like the tangents.
Yeah. So my guess is that these spurs are artifacts from a long ago time from an alien race that was wiped out by the thing that we don't know wiped out or closed the gate, closed the rings or whatever.
Do you think these are from the same race that... Peanut! Same race that made the rings? And the ring space?
Well, I mean, the fact that you asked that question indicates no.
Just for the viewers. Hamish doesn't actually have a dog. We don't want
to... We just like to go along with this to help.
Stop it.
It's got a very specific form of Tourette's.
would be more convincing if it...
Again.
I
wasn't implying anything.
It doesn't look protomolecule-y per se, right? It doesn't look like the station, does it? Let's have a look.
Because that's why Avasarala wants them to investigate, because it looks like
prototech.
And it does. It looks a bit like the what the ring edges is made of. That's what it looks like. Yeah, Peanut, if you don't fucking lie down, I'm going to lose my shit. Lie down. Do not open that curtain again. Lie down.
I don't know. I mean, the thing is, right? Like you see the spurs in the wake of that thing getting shot down. So it's presumably...
Well, you've seen before that. Avasarala's got a report, and you see it again because Holden shows it to the crew.
Yeah,
you've seen them three or four times.
The shots connect. Oh, the shots connect. So, so I guess off the top of my head, judging from the clues that you've already laid down, both of you.
No, I wasn't. I'm saying more than I am.
That it was the spurs that took down that dropship, like some sort of ancient defense mechanism.
I don't know how you got that from anything I've said, to be honest.
That might also be Drew as well. Like both of you. Okay. I'm putting stuff together.
Well, I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, where does the cloud come from? Does it come from the directions? But I never paid enough attention to that, to be honest. Again, that's why I think you're reading way more into I thought you'd have a Chris theory of your own formed before we started talking. That's why I was talking.
Okay, I wasn't trying
to guide you in any way. I'm not trying to say things or not say things. I'm just literally everything I'm saying is just from what I've observed as well. You know?
Oh, I'm just an innocent little bystander. Me.
No, I really mean it this time.
Okay, so this does look proto-molecule.
Yeah, it looks like the stuff that, you know, like the ring had, you know, when the ring was forming, we saw those little panels and stuff. I mean, it's not solid, it's got little patches and stuff like that, you know.
It does, but it also just looks like a big construction, like there's only so many ways really, to like skin a cat kind of thing. Like, it doesn't look immensely dissimilar to how, you know, if humans built the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think it leans a bit proto-molecule, I agree, but I don't think it's explicitly reading as that.
I thought it might be like another alien race's equivalent of a proto-molecule. You know, dye molecule, as it were, or something like that.
I mean, all we know so far, for sure, is that there was a race that built the rings and the ring space, and the proto-molecule is connected to them, and something, some other race or entity or whatever, destroyed them or drove them away or whatever. That's all we know for sure.
So this could be from the proto-molecule people. This could be some ancient self-defense mechanism, like an ancient weapon that shot down the dropship just because it happened to not get turned off when they died. Or something like that. Maybe they came out of the little funnel, the little spout.
So it's a giant beehive. It's a proto-molecule giant beehive.
I thought it was a teapot.
I won't say whether this, but at this point, when I watched it for the first time, I thought the same thing. I'll say that.
Well, that's also kind of in line with Mass Effect, but also Mass Effect has kind of been very, very, very like The Expanse. So it's a good track record.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, they've
not knowing
the
Mass Effect has obviously hamstrung me in my.
I would be interested to see what you would think of those games, Hamish.
Well, I've got one.
No, I know. Yeah,
Anjun got me one. She wants me to play it. You know.
Also, one of the things that's kind of weird. There's black bars on this one.
Oh, that is
like
weird.
There's.
Oh
like,
wait,
there's
no, not is that black... not just Horizon? Hang on.
No, it's
black. Oh, yeah, there's black bars, yeah.
There's black bars in this particular cinematic scene.
Is this to do with the wider screen?
Maybe? No, it's not, because the scene before it fills the screen.
Oh.
It could be that the production... If the production uses... Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to get into this. It's technical. As in, they do the CGI stuff for one thing and then they did another. They mismatched something.
They wouldn't use different... No,
maybe because of the... Maybe they were in a rush to get this all done or they mismatched something.
It is. No, you're right, yeah. Yeah, no, it is. That bit is at a different aspect ratio. Mm. That's weird. I did not notice that while watching it.
Oh, fuck off. Well, you that's the good thing, is you're not supposed to sort of thing. Yeah.
Is it the bits down on the planet?
Yeah, or sort, but yeah, the bits down at
the planet. The bits down on the planet?
Yeah, all the bits
down on the planet. I don't want to get into that, but there is a thing about this that they filmed some stuff differently, and it's just
that would have, because if that was just happenstance, they'd crop it to 16:9. That's done intentionally, and yeah, I wonder what they're trying to communicate with that, with the stuff on the planet being more, you know, in inverted commas, cinematic.
Is that how you know what planet we're on? Each planet has a different aspect ratio.
That would be cool. I'd love that. I want to go to the 4:3 planet.
I want to go. What about the 1:1 planet? Let's stay away from the vertical video planet.
Point is, yeah, they shot it in a different way deliberately, yes.
Because, it kind of looks like The Expanse, the film, the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, That's weird.
I did not notice that.
So we know that they're on Eilis because
I mean, we don't need that to know, though. Like, I think they are trying to Yeah, it's the same. I've just flicked through the next episode, and it's the same in the next episode. That's interesting.
Hmm. And you just googled it there, Hamish, just to say that was intentional.
Yeah. Just the cinema. It was a cinematic thing, as Drew said. Yeah. Sorry, I'm really, really having trouble here. Come here. He's been out so many times today.
So I was kind of wondering, like, how do they lock up? Do they have keys?
Oh, for the
Ross and Ante. Keys for the Ross and Ante, yeah.
That's probably a Chris question.
Probably a keypad with, ID. Maybe even fingerprints or...
Fingerprint, retina.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Biometrics, that's what it's called, isn't it? Biometrics.
What's the rectal scan.
Rectal. Gina, will you settle down?
I think to the other side of this thing, they've got the
this another fill-up thing, yeah.
Yep, the spurs here.
Yep,
of course, the black bars that you can see up in there. So it's not like there's lots of them or a number of them on the horizon. There's only the two.
Mm.
Well, at this but
also
point,
that's they found a ravine just the right.
That bothers me every time.
Yeah, right height for this.
Yeah,
is that why they're so far away from these? They would have parked closer, but they had to find a.
I think they were going to walk to the. Like, we should have put the door on the fucking bottom.
Well, they got the thrusters.
The thing
on the
is, I think they have. That's the point. Is they do have a door at the bottom, don't they? Because it's the back of the ship. It's got the cargo bay door, or is that under on the underside? I can't remember.
So they don't want to land it flat.
No, that they would all fall over. Ship's not designed that way.
The decks in the ship are.
They're designed for thrust, so that they can it's like having fake legs.
A flying skyscraper.
Yeah, so that they can have gravity when they're under thrust. That's what I was saying earlier. Yeah, so the ships in the Expanse are vertical because of that, for gravitational reasons, to get the artificial gravity from thrusting. Air misses.
But there's no air resistance in space, right?
No.
Mm-hmm.
So shape doesn't necessarily matter, right? So presumably,
no, but the ratio kind of does.
Yeah, but if you had a flying saucer,
if you're not
like
going to
make,
yeah, but you want if you want to make something with multiple decks for a spaceship where you've got limited space, you're going to. I mean, it could just be a cube. It could just be a rectangle.
Like,
yeah.
Chris's point, like a big flat ship, so it's all one floor. Yeah. But then it would
work the same, yeah.
Moving around would be less efficient.
That you'd be, yeah, because that would be. Yeah. You'd have to have a huge amount of thrusters. This design means that you have one engine at one end with big thruster.
Mm. You could still do that, but it would be a very long way to get from one side of it to the other side of it, as opposed to just
you
going
wouldn't,
up.
No, that, there's other no that there's other reasons that wouldn't work for the. If you want the engine, you want the opposite. Newton's second.
The engine's in the middle, pointing down.
No, that's not going to work the same way. That's not going to work. It's going to make it much more difficult to balance the ship for maneuvering.
That's true.
And also, if the engine is the size of the bottom of the ship, more or less, you have got an equal amount of thrust going through the ship. If you have it spread out, you're causing all sorts of trouble, even in space. It's not wind resistance. It's just literally.
Inertia.
You
create a bit of strain on the structure.
Yeah, I mean, you're putting a lot of strain right through the center of what would be a wider ship. You're pulling, if you like. If it was a flying saucer ship with one big engine in the middle, you'd be essentially pushing down on all the edges all the time.
But they'd be able to land it without a stupid bridge.
Yeah,
without having to find a perfect height. Cliff.
Yeah. I mean, we can. I'm not going. I can't make any excuses for this. As I say, there's no. It looks cool.
Yeah,
I don't think it looks cool enough.
to make
like
up
I'm
for
not
it.
A nitpicker. No. I don't care about like the nitpicky stuff, but it's just one of those things where you're like, why?
Yeah.
So the
actually, I hate to be a sort of apologist or whatever, but when you the very first time we see the Rocinante, it has got an external gantry going to that exact point on it.
That's true.
Oh, it does. Yeah,
that's fair. Yeah. Good point.
But that doesn't really excuse why they don't when they've retrofitted it for landing that they haven't just made it. You know,
I mean, if it was a perfectly flat planet, would they just like jump out with parachutes?
Exactly. Yeah. That's the point, isn't it? What would they do then? Yeah.
Ladder.
It's annoying us more than it should.
Little rocket boots, like in whatever that Star Trek film was.
Five.
Maybe they could.
On where he's on the cliff. Yeah.
So I'm assuming that they don't go planet hopping in this to the point where we know more about how the exit and entrance on planets work.
That's,
I think if they did, it would spoil the Rocinante, really.
But we don't want to say things. These are the bees. The bees.
Proto-locus.
They move.
But it does, I think, when he's holding it, it does
kind
like
of buzzes, doesn't
ching,
it? It does a little
spiky bits out. Yeah.
Are they living? They look living.
I've assumed they're living.
Is the protomolecule alive? You know.
Yes, because Miller's alive.
Yeah.
Miller's immortal soul has been preserved by the protomolecule.
Yep. I think he's alive.
Hamish has become a rectangle.
Where's Hamish gone? He's gone invisible.
There he is.
Okay, we've definitely exhausted everything here as far.
Do you have anything else
to say? So sorry, it has been so difficult to concentrate.
I've got one line, and I think I didn't write who said it, but I assume it's Ava Sorella, and I assume she's talking to Jim, and she says, "Do not put your dick in it; it's fucked enough already."
She does. Which is a great line. Yeah.
Yeah, she's a bit. She's
and somebody bit... else says, "Yeah, don't do." I can't remember who else agrees with her.
Oh, yeah,
Amos
is
Naomi
good
or somebody, or Amos. Yeah.
I
disagree with her stance at the moment, but we still love Ava Sorella. You can't turn your back on Ava Sorella.
What was she wearing? Yeah. So, I mean, anyway, I thought you might have a more. Yeah, I don't want to put. I mean, you've already accused both of us of putting words in your mouth, so I'm not going to say anything else. But yeah, I just thought you might have.
I accused you of putting thoughts in my head.
It wasn't words I was putting in your mouth.
Yeah.
So you know, I don't want to say anything else, but I thought you might have a more grand Chris theory for the new, you know, big mysteries of the show, but
I don't think there's enough of there's not enough
there's
to go
not
at,
much
really.
To go on.
Yeah.
Okay.
You've just got magical bees, I mean, and some spiky things.
Well, what you've said makes sense. Who shot down the ship? You reckon it was the spiky insect things? Fair enough. Well, that makes sense to me.
Not necessarily the spiky insect things.
Well,
something coming out of the magical beehives.
Yeah.
Oh, it wasn't you. So you don't think it was them that was, because it looked like lots of things shooting at them, didn't it? Like shrapnel or bullets or something.
Shrapnel, yeah. Like it could have been internal sabotage. It could have been anything. I don't know.
Okay.
There's not much to go at there either. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, I don't like ending.
I'm sorry
on an
to disappoint you.